Salvatore. He is extremely helpful. He helps his neighbor. His lab partner. His school. Even people he doesn't know.
Thank you, young man.
Meet Sue. She's good with people. Hello? Hi, Sally. It's Sue. How are you? Fine, Sue. How are you? Well, I'm not feeling too good today. I'm sorry, Sue. Is there anything I can do? Well, would you mind picking up my kids from school? And while you're out, could you pick up some takeout from the deli? And if you don't mind, could you stop by the dry cleaners for me? You know, Sally, you're a good friend. You're always there for me. We'll have to have you over for dinner sometime soon. And could you bring the ham? Thanks, Sally. Bye.
Meet George. He's a strong leader.
Well, we just have to do a vacation
off the question.
I'm so glad you're all here for week two of Emotionally Healthy Spirituality. Let's get started.
I'm not really into this emotional stuff.
It's okay, George.
Wait, I have an idea. In my culture, we always eat when we meet. Why don't we order a pizza, Chinese food, and ribs, and then play board games?
Meet Joe. He's a good judge of character.
Wah, wah, wah.
This sounds too good.
Wah, wah, wah.
He's probably lying. His father was probably waiting so long.
So many focus time is so long. Does he ever brush his teeth?
Meet Marie. She's... Wait, that's not Marie. This is Marie. She's really easygoing.
Sorry, boss.
Ice cream!
Whatever you want, kids. It's okay, honey. I'll take the bus to work.
Emotionally healthy spirituality. Help for what lies beneath.
Very good. I hope you're getting the best out of this campaign. As I told you last time, that this is something, you know, affected me most, and I really, really, really hope that all of you would get the most out of that. And I said, even if you're not planning to, you know, to be here or to attend, you know, just get the book and read. Just get the most out of it, and you know. Somehow, this campaign would be best with the small groups. So it'll be best even if you join a small group for the 8 weeks of the campaign. You know, you will get the most out of it. Anyways, the message that we're getting that in order to live healthy and loving God well and loving others well and loving yourself well, it has two things that have to cross, which is the contemplative spirituality and the emotional health, and that's what we're talking about in this campaign. You have a handout in your hand. You have two of them. The one that says defining emotional health and contemplative spirituality. I would love for you to have a pen while we're going on these points one by one, and I want you to check on the ones that you feel, you know, that talks to you most. So the first page is about emotional health, and that's going to actually define what emotional health is. Naming, recognizing, and managing our own feelings. You know, unless you're like George, who is not into feeling stuff. Every human being has feelings. Feelings is a very important part of our lives, but a lot of times, we don't think that we are allowed to feel certain ways. So naming, recognizing, managing our own feeling, identifying with having active compassion for others, which is not necessarily the case, even if we sound compassionate. Initiating and maintaining close and meaningful relationship. Think at least 80% should check this one. Breaking free from self-destructive patterns, we talked about last time, being aware of how our past impacts our presence, developing the capacity to express our thoughts and feeling clearly. both verbally and non-verbally, respecting and loving others without having to change them. First thing in the relationship, everybody's changing everybody. Asking for what we need, want, or prefer clearly, directly and respectfully. Accurately self-assessing our strength, limits, weakness, and freely sharing them with others. Learning the capacity to resolve conflicts maturely and negotiate solutions that consider the perspectives of others. Distinguishing and appropriately expressing our sexuality and sensuality. And the last one is grieving well. Every and each one of them could be just a topic by itself. But thankfully, we're not going to do this. And actually, not everything that we want to say, we will say here. But we will actually directly to the book to read more. These two pages that I just read you is chapter 3 in the book, Healthy Emotional Spirituality. The book is just the name of the campaign. I really encourage you to get it. Chapter 3 talks about all these things. The other side of the page talks about contemplative spirituality. So the emotional health comes from knowing myself. Knowing myself is in the presence of God. We're not here in the business of psychology. We're in the business of spirituality. But we want to make sure that our spirituality is genuine and real. And in order to know that, I need to know how I'm feeling, because this is the tip of the iceberg that can tell me a little bit the depth of the iceberg, as we said last time. Contemplative spirituality. This is something we learn in order to lead us to emotional health. What is it? This is, goes very well with the beliefs of our Orthodox Church. As a matter of fact, it's all what the Orthodox Church has been, you know, teaching for 2,000 years. Awakening and surrendering to God's love in and in every situation. We'll be clear in a little bit. Positioning ourselves to hear God and remember His presence in all we do. So we're talking about the presence of God. If you read the book, the Way of the Pilgrims, you're going to identify with what we're talking about. Communion, communing with God, allowing Him to fully indwell the depth of our being. It's all internal. Bringing God into the depth of our lives. Practicing silence, solitude, and a life of unceasing prayer. Really? Yes. You know, this is not for the monks. And when you read the book talks a lot about the monks and how the monks actually left the world as the world is a wrecking ship, and they went to the desert in order to find themselves first. And when they find themselves, they find God. And only there in the silence and the solitude, when they find themselves away from the distractions, they find God. Resting attentively in the presence of God, same, understanding our earthly life as a journey of transformation towards ever-increasing union with God, finding the true essence of who we are in God, loving others out of life of love for God, developing a balanced, harmonious rhythm of life that enables us to be aware of sacred, of the sacred in all of life. This one is very good. Adapting historic practices of spirituality that brings from our church that are applicable today. Allowing our Christian lives to be shaped by the rhythm of the Christian calendar rather than the culture, and living in committed community that passionately loves God. So this is, in conclusion, you need to keep this with you. It's going to help you a lot. And actually, the handout that you have is going also to ask you some intriguing question that requires some thinking. And my hope and my prayer that this will bring you to some quiet time and some thinking that will really bring inner transformation into your life. So today we're going to talk about knowing yourself that you may know God. We're going to talk about 7 pathways to emotional health, and today is the first one of them. What we're talking about today will be will be complemented by chapter 4 in the book. We're not going to talk anything about chapter 4, but things that will complement chapter 4 or be complemented by chapter 4 in the book. Basically, awareness of yourself and your relationship with God are closely related to each other. Example, you're an introvert, okay? But people around you, and especially if you like to be with people or in a group or accepted by people, you have to live as an extrovert, even though that's not you. And you're going to continue to do things that extroverts do, and not only agree with them, but it becomes the pattern of your life. And therefore, the people around you, they don't really know you, and they're not getting the real you. They're getting someone else who is trying to be something where he is not. Another thing, you're asked to do something or to go somewhere which is totally against you and against your nature, but you're afraid to say no or to be weird or different or all of this. So you go. What happens when you go? You're not yourself. And therefore, in the end, internally, without feeling anything, you're going to hate yourself for doing that and actually hate other people who are pressuring you to do things that are not yours. The problem is, I didn't identify who I am, and therefore, I let people tell me and lead me to certain ways where I really don't belong. And in the end, you know, it gives frustration in the end. You have anger and disappointment at people, but you want to play cool and nice. So you give a smile, and inside you are burning, okay? And you can't say anything, and you keep that. And in the end, what happens? Most likely, we either explode or actually cut off people completely, because we kept accumulating things and not being able to, because I feel guilty for resenting these people and being angry. Even though we learned before that emotions and feelings are not morals. They're not right or wrong. That's how I feel. There's nothing wrong. It's not a sin to feel a certain way. It's a sin, you know, to hurt someone. But it's not a sin that you have feelings that you want to hurt someone. It's not a sin. I promise you. It's a temptation. It's a thought that comes to you. You know, not every thought that comes to us is a sin unless I act on that thought. So, if we keep doing that, people around us will never get the real us. And I don't get to see the real me. So all relationships, including relationship with God, because I don't think that I'm allowed to stand in front of God and say, I'm actually resenting this person, or I feel angry at this person. I feel it's a sin, it's bad, it's wrong. It's not. It's not. As a matter of fact, and that actually will bring us to our hero today, who is the one who cursed his enemies most in the Bible? David, of course. All his prayer of the Psalms, he's cursing his enemies back and forth. You know, and if you read the Psalms and you like the Psalms, you know, smash their teeth. I don't know why, especially their teeth, but like crush their teeth. And, you know, bring their back where they're front and, you know, make them upside down and make them confused and blind them. And are we reading the Psalms to commit sins? And some people, when they read the Psalms, they say, what is this? How come this is in the Bible? You know what? None of it is a sin. That's how he feels. He's so real with God. And even God put it in the Bible to show us that the person who has a heart like God, he's someone else. Even God has, you know, gets angry, and he says, I regret, you know, or doing, having soul or things like this, and the fiery anger of the Lord and the wrath of the Lord. He's a person. He has emotions and feelings. But we didn't learn that. We learned that big boys don't cry. And big girls don't whine. And they don't express their feelings. So it's wrong. You know, it's bad. It's sin. It's weakness. It's this. It's that. So David, our hero, was all inside exactly like outside. Now, in your sheet, there is symptoms of false self. Please, this is very important. I want you to get this out. And then I want you to mark and check, okay, the things that relates to you. This is a test to show you if you are living yourself or you're living someone else's life. Please, I beg you to do it. Please, pick up the paper for my name, for my sake, and then throw it away in the end. Just pick up the paper, okay, and if you have a pen, and I'll go with you, be honest. And people next to you, please don't look at them, all right? Everybody looks just in his paper, all right, please. And don't elbow each other, please, husband and wife. Thank you. Number one, I say yes when I really mean no. Check here. Number two, I get depressed when people are upset with me. Check here. When I say check here, it's me. All right? I have a need to be approved by others to feel good about myself. Check here. I act nice on the outside, but inside I cannot stand you. Check here. Number five. I often remain silent in order to keep the peace. Check, check, check. All right? Number six. So I say, who are you then? I'm not going to tell you. Number six, I believe that if I make mistakes, I myself am a failure. Check here. I criticize others in order to feel better about myself. Don't think so. Number eight, I avoid looking weak or foolish for not having the answer. Check here. I have to be doing something exceptional to feel alive. Maybe. Number 10, I have to be needed to feel alive. Check here. I am fearful and can take risks. Check here. I do what others want so they don't get mad at me. Check here. I use knowledge and competence to overcome my feelings of inadequacy. Maybe. Number 14, I want my children to behave well so others will think I'm a good parent. Check, check, check. 15, I compare myself a lot to other people. Not here. So, how many did you get? Be honest. Be honest. Okay. Now we're going, actually, to go through the life of David, a very, very famous story about David, and we're going, actually, to take it from another twist in order to learn something. And actually, it's in 1 Samuel chapter 17, The famous story, David fighting Goliath. You know the story. You know, Goliath was a very big man. He was 9 feet tall. He was very large man. His actually armor weighed 125 pounds, the armor that he put around himself. The tip of his spear weighed 15 pounds, just the tip of his spear. That's what the Bible says about this man. He's experienced. The Israelites are in this side. The Philistines are in this side. There's a valley in between. They decided, you get your hero, we get our hero. They fight together, and whoever the hero that wins, his team wins, so we don't fight each other. They agreed to that, so they brought Goliath. And when the Israelites saw him, everybody said, I'm out. I'm not in. I'm not a soldier. I have nothing to do with that. He would go and dismay the people of God, the Israelites, for 40 days. So 40 days, he would go in the morning and in the evening. He tells them, you cowards, you are no people, you deserve to be smashed, and you're nothing, and you're all these kind of curses every single day for 40 days. And then David came in order to deliver food to his older brothers who were actually in the battlefield. He was not. He was a young boy, about 17 or 18 years old. He just bring them the food in order to eat because they've been there for a while. And then, while he was there, he heard the voice of Goliath himself. Nobody told him. And when he looked, he said, really? How come no one is fighting this man? Yeah, are you kidding me? Fighting this man? He's not a man. He's a dinosaur. He's something else. Fighting what? Here the Bible says, as he was talking with them, Goliath, the Philistine champion from Gath, stepped out from his lines and shouted his usual defiance. He was not only defying them, but defying God also. David heard it. When the Israelites saw the man, they all ran from him in great fear. David asked the man standing near him, what will be done for the man who kills this Philistine and removes the disgrace from Israel? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Why are you not fighting this man? Why? And David was ready actually to fight him. He said, you know, I'll get him. I'll do it for you. But he faced three problems that we usually face. And, you know, it's going to relate to us. Number one, that he actually faced his family, was actually the biggest obstacle in the beginning. Listen what happened. When he brought the food, his older brother, who's like 10 or 15 years older than him, said, when Eliab, David's oldest brother, heard him speaking with the men, he burned with anger at him and asked, why have you come down here? And with whom did you leave those few sheep in the desert? I know how conceited you are and how wicked your heart is. You came down only to watch the battle. Now, what have I done? David said, can't I even speak? He then turned away to someone else and brought up the same matter. And the men answered him as before. What David said was overheard and reported to Saul, and Saul sent for him. His older brother, you crazy? I know you. You're wicked. Why are you doing that? Get back to the sheep. You're no one. How much did this upset David? Tell me from just what you read. How much? Not at all. He finished this, and David turned around, and he kept saying the same thing to someone else. As he heard, nothing. If you heard these words from your oldest brother, or from someone, a random person, what would you do? You will go back in fear and shame and knowing that you're not able to do anything. He's my oldest brother. He's a man of battle. He knows better. Believe it or not, David was put down most from his family. His actually family didn't really believe in him. You know the story when Samuel the prophet came and he said to his father, bring me all the children. He brought everybody except David. Why? He's no one. They counted him as nothing, as no one. The beginning of our no oneness comes from home first. Your biggest obstacle of being yourself comes from your family, believe it or not. Many people describe to me they felt invisible in their families growing up. They don't think or express certain thoughts. Why? Because you're young, you're ignorant, you're no one, you don't understand life, or don't feel certain feelings that I told you before, or don't do certain mistakes. You know, some families did not allow mistakes. As if a mistake, if you do a mistake, you're not a human being. You don't deserve to live. How? How? That's never the plan of God. Or some people felt weak and vulnerable. Some people felt they were going to be loved if they do this or that. They get the degree, or get married, or finish this, or finish that. David was ignored, disregarded from everyone except from God. He was a man of meditation. Sit with the sheep, meditate, and sing, and sit in the presence of God. He knew who he is and who God is from his contemplative life. That's what we're trying to learn from David. Second obstacle that David had is significant others with authority and experience. What does that mean? Listen, so the story is, David came, heard the guy, he said, what will be done to the man who kills this? He kept asking so many people. Saul, the king, heard it. He called for David. Who is this? He was desperate for anyone to fight Goliath. Anyone. He heard there's a little boy who's willing to do it. He sent for him. So David came before Saul. David said to Saul, let no one else heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him. Saul replied, you are not able to go out against this Philistines and fight him. You are only a boy, and he has been a fighting man from his youth. Who is Saul? He's the king. Saul was also a big guy. He was a tall guy. You know, even they chose him to be a king out of his size, you know, not of anything else. He actually was leading an army of 330,000 people. He was an experienced man of war. When you go to the battle, when you go to the operation room, and the doctor who is expert in this tells you, this cannot be done, what would you tell him? This man of valor told David, the young boy, you can't, you're just a boy. Significant others, people, counselors, teachers, Sunday school teachers, priests, who told me that I just cannot do it, this is the most I can get, just to pray for us, boy. Just pray for us. I can get this man. The problem is, people live life a certain way, and they expect us to live our life according to their expectations. But that's not true. I have my own life. I have my own talents. I have my own experience, and no one else knows what's inside of me except me and God who made me and who can show me who I really am. David admired Saul so much, but he didn't listen to him. And that's a good thing here. That's a good thing here. Listen, this is be very careful here. I'm not saying don't listen to coaches and don't listen to counselors and don't listen to older people or people that you respect in your life. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is your knowledge of yourself and your knowledge of God should suppress and overcome that regardless, because no one else, regardless how great these people are, they don't really know you. If you yourself don't know yourself, how can they tell who you really are? What did David say? You're a little boy, you can. What did he say? No, I will do it. And in the end, Saul listened to him. What happened now? Saul said, okay, fine, come and take my armor and put it on. David fastened on his sword over the tunic and tried walking around because he was not used to them I cannot go in these, he said to Saul, because I'm not used to them. So Saul said, in order to fight this guy, you have to put these armors. He's got a sword, he's got a spear. You got to put your stuff, the big stuff of war, in order to go and fight. David listened, put them on, tried to walk, can't walk. Can't even carry them. He said, I'm not used to them. What are you used to, David? Listen here. So he took them off. Then he took his staff in his hand, chose 5 smooth stones from the stream, put them in the pouch of his shepherd's bag, and with his sling in his hand, approached the Philistine. He's committing a suicide right now. Little boy, he has his slingshot, he's got some stones and a staff, and he's going with a man who's 9 feet long, and his armor weighs 125 pounds. And the head of his spear is 15 pounds. Bear, nothing. Stones, slingshot, his staff. That's Goliath. You're kidding? You know who David is trying to be right now? He's trying to be himself. But everybody's telling him, no, don't dare you do this. This is so scary. I want to be myself. I want to fight the way I fought a lion and a bear before. I use these stuff. Dare you do this? He's gonna eat you alive. Family, significant others, people with authority, and the third obstacle was Goliath himself, who represents the devil, who never, ever, ever wants me to be myself. Because God created me to be me. And what brings joy to the heart of God when I live my life the way God meant it to be. So the first one who doesn't want me to be myself is the devil or Goliath, and he's going to fight this. David got 2 things with him. And listen to this, very important. David was not actually going, blind. He didn't have a blind faith. He's not like the one who's jumping off the cliff and saying, hopefully God will protect me. Never. That was not the case at all. It seems that he has great faith in God. Did he really have great faith only in God? Think about it. Was it only in God? If it was only in God, he wouldn't have taken the slingshot and the stones. It was relying 100% on God and on the skills that God gave him. Believe it or not, this was a fair match. It was a fair game. It was a fair battle. Goliath knows how to fight this way. And make no mistake about it, David knows how to fight this way. Yes, it looks like, you know, they're not compared to each other. But this little boy, he killed a lion and a bear before using these things. This man is experienced in war. This man is experienced in killing beasts. You think that David going with a blind faith, that I hope to get this faith one day to fight the battles that I cannot fight. No, he knew himself and he knew God. He just knew himself and he knew God, and he didn't allow these things to stop him. Ask you some questions. David was not dependent on doing it for the right way to be accepted or loved, did he? Did he do that to be accepted or loved by others? Absolutely not. Did he do it out of guilt? Absolutely not. Did he do it to keep the peace with other people? Absolutely not. Did he say, I have to succeed so I can, you know, make a big name and glorify God and do something amazing with my life? Absolutely not. He did it because he wanted to do it, and he felt that God wanted him to do it. David excelled and succeeded because he knew how to live his life and to be himself, know himself, and know God. Meanwhile, the Philistine with his shield bearer, not only he came, he had actually another guy with him who's carrying his shield going in front of him, kept coming closer to David. He looked David over, listen to this, he looked David over and saw that he was only a boy, ruddy and handsome. I like this. And he despised him. He said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with the sticks? And the Philistines cursed David by his gods. Thank God he did that, because David was, I'll get you. David didn't say, oh, I'll get you. No, he said, I'll get you. So it was actually a fair match, okay? Because that's when we spiritualize things too much, and we cover with the spirituality who we really are. Very important. And that's what we're trying to, you know, accomplish here. Four practices are written in chapter 4. Will make you, will begin making the radical transition to living faithful to our true selves in Christ. The first is paying attention to your interior silence and solitude. That's only when can you know yourself. Find trusted companions. People can really tell you who you really are. 99% of the people around you may not tell you who you really are. But there are some. Find them. Move out of your comfort zone in order to find this inner transformation. Pray for courage. You know, it needs a lot of courage to get what's inside, as David did. Today, we looked at the 15 symptoms of living false self. When I say yes, when I mean no, when I, you know, all these 15 things. If I want to remind you again, do you want to live this life? Do you want to live the life of someone else? Do you want to live the life of someone else? That's what we do. And unfortunately, we cover it with the spirituality. It's not true spirituality. When I say something and I mean something else, when I put smile and I'm burning with anger inside of me, does that mean I have to be angry at everyone? Not necessarily. But I have to address it. I have to deal with it. I don't have to ignore it. I have to understand that I'm a human being, and I have habits, and I have feelings, and I have a lifestyle, and discover that, and cherish that. David was a good example of Christ, who went to meet the devil. Christ, when he went up on the cross, exactly as David going to fight Goliath. Death, 100%. But out of the death, he brought resurrection. And he brought the new life. David, when he overcame Goliath, not only he became a hero, but he made his entire nation victorious and glorious one. How much more if we follow the Lord Jesus Christ to this path? It's almost like a path to death. It needs a lot of courage to really dig deep and know who I am. Not a lot of people are willing to do that. It's hard even to ask these questions. I don't want to face that. Even when we talk about the silence and taking some time for silence, very hard, very difficult. I don't do these things. I'm not into these emotional stuff. Not about emotions. The emotions are going to show you who you really are and discover our life in Christ. David faced three things: his family, significant others with authority and experience, people in our lives that never believed in us, and Goliath, the devil, who's always fighting us knowing the truth and knowing ourselves and knowing God. We have a journey in this campaign. The purpose of the journey: to discover the most important discovery and the most important piece of information in your entire life, which is yourself. Because knowing yourself only will allow you, and only then will allow you to know God and to really know others, to love God and to love others. If you don't know that, you may look that you love others, but inside of you, you're just trying to do the right thing. You're just trying to be the person that your parents always wanted you to be. Or you're covering up on things. And that's never the intention of God. Only when you are yourself, you're going to be victorious. Only you bring glory to God's kingdom. And we want to find that. Is it easy? It's not easy. But it's the most important thing. We can pray all the prayers in the world. Just going to come up from here. Why? Because I don't know what's in here. I need to dig deep in order to see what's in here. If you are following the daily journal, if you're not following, I beg you to do it. It's really the best. I'm telling you, I'm reading the book, I'm seeing all this, I'm preparing. I benefit from the daily journal every day like you won't believe it. I'm discovering things in my life I've never discovered all my life. That's why I'm telling you, please, I beg you to do that. So, take time to do it. In every daily journal, it will ask you to take 2 minutes of silence in the beginning and the end. Take it serious. And actually, if you notice, on Saturday, we're going to give you a plan how to do a personal retreat, like 1 hour, 2 hours personal retreat. Do it. We need a lot of this silence. Everything is busy and everything is buzzing in our lives. And everything is going crazy like this. So we never discover ourselves, and we live a shallow life on the surface. Shallow life, full of information, but very shallow. That's not the intentions of God in our lives. I'll give you an exercise like last time. Look at this verse. I think you have it in your outline too, don't you? Do you have it in your outline? Okay. So, I want you, I'll give you 2 minutes of silence, okay? I want you to read this verse a few times and take the 2 minutes and only think about this verse. And I encourage you to think only about a word in this verse. Just one word, okay? So, you can close your eyes or you can keep them open. But just let's experience the silence and solitude where we find God to examine the depth of our hearts. It's just the beginning, small training. He guides me in path of righteousness for his name's sake. He guides me and path of righteousness for his name's sake. Okay, the 2 minutes are over, and I think it's not as bad as last time. When it took 2 minutes last time, it felt like ages, okay? And that's the way it is. The more you do it, the more it's not going to be, you know, as bad. And, you know, again, the way will be enlightened on the inside. Let's stand up for prayer. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Lord, we thank you for loving us the way we are. Thank you for accepting us with all of our weaknesses. Thank you for considering us so precious in your eyes. Not everybody believed in us, Lord, the way you believe in us. That's why sometimes it's very hard to believe in ourselves. Not only to believe in ourselves, Lord, but to really know who we really are. We want to be genuine, Lord. We want to be proud of how you made us. We want to live the life you meant for us to live it. Lord, this is not going to happen just overnight or without any introduction. We know that it's going to take some internal work. So pray, Lord, that you help every and each one of us through this journey and make it a journey, Lord, of blessing, journey of strength, a journey of renewal and revival, and opening our eyes, Lord, to amazing things. Never too late, Lord, for any of us. Thank you for your love, and thank you for all what you're doing in our lives. Pray this in the name of our Lord, God, and Savior, Jesus Christ, through intercession, Holy Mother, St. Mary, St. Mark, all your saints, hear us as we pray thankfully. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses. And lead us not into temptation. Through Christ Jesus our Lord, right in the kingdom, the power, the glory forever and ever.